Hey everyone, welcome back to On the Block. I'm your host, Madison McGee. I want to quickly recap Wednesday night's veto episode because I have an amazing interview with Jack Adkins from The Circle where we recap up to about Sunday live feed time. So I want to quickly hop in and just talk about what happened on Wednesday night's veto and kind of in the days previous too. So we see Nicole volunteer to be a pawn so that Taylor can go home and she reaps the benefits of being the solo person left from the besties. We don't know exactly what happens to this person, but she's willing to get rid of Taylor to see. I think this is weird because they all have this weird obsession with her, getting her out. It makes no sense. We watch Nicole be upset about having to throw this competition, which is strange because the level of upset she is makes everyone think that she's upset about her mom who has cancer. That's how much this woman is crying. It makes no sense about throwing a competition. If it bothers you that much, just don't do it. I don't really understand. But anyways, she kicks everyone out of the room. It's her and Daniel having this little moment. And Taylor comes in to tell her, like, don't stress about the game. Like, there's bigger things, essentially, than Big Brother. And if you feel like you have to keep fighting, you know, fighting in this veto, whatever. She was basically saying, like, if you are so exhausted from thinking about your mom that you don't really have the energy to fight in the veto, on my account, don't worry about it. Like, I'm happy to, like, you know, not fight as hard in this veto competition so that you can kind of deal with your emotions over your mom. Nicole took that as just quit the game. Not sure how she got that. Quit was never said. Don't really understand it. Whatever. Tells Daniel that Taylor was being passive aggressive and telling her to quit Big Brother. Daniel has this absolute rage in him that I haven't seen quite yet. We've seen him get mad about stupid things, but this was like, I've never seen anyone probably ever in my life act this way over something so small, and screams at Taylor to the point where she thinks he's joking because it's that ridiculous. And it just makes no sense. I'm smiling because I just don't even know what other emotion to have about this because it's absolutely insane. Like, this poor girl is trying to comfort someone who's her festie bestie, her partner now in this game, who's willing to throw her under the bus. And then she's trying to console her. And this girl's like ready to get her out of the house. It's just absolutely nuts. Daniel starts screaming at her. It's actually brutal to watch. I think watching her in the diary room, which is something we obviously don't see on the feeds, was really hard. Watching her like be very upset and sad about just this whole situation, getting screamed at by Daniel, who I think at that point she kind of thought they were like friendly, and Nicole, who's her festie bestie. Like, it just was really sad. And watching her after weeks of not really connecting with people, having this like moment where she just feels like, which I think a lot of us have felt this way in our lives, it's like nothing you say is right. Nothing you say is the thing you're supposed to say. You're really trying and it just feels like you're like hitting a wall. Nicole tells her that she just doesn't know how to talk to people. Like, it's just sad that you can like feel for Taylor when it just feels like nothing she's doing is right. And like, that's how she's feeling right now. And that's just really sad. But then we see her get swooped up by the Leftovers Alliance. We talked about this in the last episode with Pooch. The Leftover Alliance is like my favorite thing to happen this season. It's amazing people, everyone who I loved, coming together, forming an alliance. They feel like they're on the outside. I'm so glad that they brought Taylor into this. And you can just tell that she's a lot happier and like feeling a lot more secure. What we don't see on the episode, obviously, is who the replacement nominees are. We see this blowout on the live feeds. It's very exciting, and I cannot wait to see how they edit it into the episode. So that kind of gets us caught up to tonight. We didn't really talk about Jasmine fainting, la, la, la. So essentially, Michael and Brittany win the veto because they're the only people competing. It's just annoying to watch. I love them, whatever, good for them. However, you won because you were competing against yourselves. So Nicole really doesn't try, so her and Taylor don't win. And then Jasmine bows out. So she doesn't even compete with Turner. Turner, who probably doesn't care either way if he competes because he knows what he's going to do. It's just a kind of a, the rest of the episode from there on out is sort of boring. You kind of have this like very exciting blowout. All of this stuff is happening. What's going to happen? And then it just is like, okay, well, Brittany and Michael are putting together a puzzle and that's the end. So we'll see all of the renoms, all of that on the eviction episode, which is when I'm recording this tomorrow, but tonight when you listen. And then we will talk more about it. So yeah, I don't know. I mean, just feeling for Taylor, but also happy knowing that, like, in this particular moment, as this episode is airing, she does have friends now. She's in an alliance, probably feeling a lot better. She's obviously not on the block this week, which is really great. So she's probably going to bed tonight feeling a lot better than she has been the last few weeks, which makes me feel great. And yeah, happy that that is taking a turn. We're starting to have people that we like. We're starting to have a season that we can enjoy. Hopefully we can get some of these people out that we do not like. I'm hoping that Daniel and Nicole are pre-jury. I just can't stand to see them on the TV any longer in this way. It's just sad to watch the things that they're saying. So I hope that we don't have to for very long. And that is all. Now, here's my interview with Jack Adkins. We talk a lot about reality TV in general, a lot of things that he's probably never said before about how he got on The Circle, his experience on The Circle, and his thoughts on this Big Brother season, if he thinks casting had anything to do with why these people are acting the way they are. We really dive into it. So I hope that you enjoy my interview with Jack Adkins. Please like, rate, review, subscribe, wherever you're listening, and I will see you next time. Hey everyone, welcome back to On the Block. I am Madison. I am joined today by Jack Adkins from season 2 of The Circle. And I'm so excited to dive in. He's a big fan of Big Brother, was on reality TV, so there's a lot to discuss, unpack, talk about. I hope that we can get it all in.
Absolutely.
You have a busy schedule. We're going to hear more about that. So Jack, let's start with Big Brother, because then we can dive into everything else. So we're at a really interesting point in the season where it feels like it's lasted for months and we've had one eviction.
Yep.
Who do you like? Who's your favorite? Your winner pick? Who do you not like? What's happening in your brain?
Yeah. So far it's, I'm still feeling it out. And I think that's partly a factor of, like you said, only been one eviction so far. The pace of the season hasn't really kicked in yet. But off the top, there's no one I love so far, but off the top, I really like Michael. I mean, he's a super fan. He's super enthusiastic, super fun, energetic, and also like very smart and very good at the comps, which is really like, it's a cool combo to see. And then I like Kyle, right? Is his name. He's got good energy. Usually I just find myself rooting for the people that I think like remind me of myself the most. Like if they weren't there, if I was in their shoes, like what would I do? And I'm probably more similar to Kyle. Monty's super cool too. Seems like a really chill guy. And yeah, there's just some good people in there.
Nice.
Yeah, it's been interesting to watch that, especially like all the Paloma drama, the Taylor drama.
Yeah, really interesting. We have someone who's already self-evicted.
Yeah.
And I guess if you're going to self-evict, it usually happens in that first week anyways. It is weird that happened and then they didn't have an eviction, and so it just feels like it's kind of dragging on.
Yeah.
When the cast was announced, it already had this feeling of this is going to be a lackluster.
I remember talking about it with some friends, and I think one of them said like the cast list looks just like it's like AI generated people. Which I think is like kind of true.
Yeah.
But I mean I don't know. Like, obviously, as a collective, I think they're all pretty cool. Or more as individuals, they all seem like pretty cool people. But there's no one that really just like stands out that much. And I feel like Big Brother has fallen into a lot of these like casting tropes.
Yeah.
Where, I don't know, like I said when we were watching the episode, like some people just seem like, you know, on paper they'd be really like fun people to play. But it's just like then the way that they conduct themselves, it's kind of like doesn't really hook me.
Yeah. As someone who is on reality TV, I'm always so curious because right around like 2016, we turned this corner of people doing shows, not because they loved the show, but because they saw the social benefit of getting that blue check, getting paid to post on Instagram.
Yep.
And I feel like every season we have like more and more what they call recruits, people who are there because they're pretty, people who are there because they want to be an influencer. When you were doing The Circle, what was your motive behind going on the show?
Yeah, you're exactly right, where so many people, I think even more with like dating shows and stuff, you go on not because you want to get married, but because you want some social status, which is like fine. Like you can't really knock someone for that logic, but it's like, I think if there's no inherent passion behind like what you're doing or what game you're playing, like that kind of translates on screen, right? Like I've been a huge like Survivor fan for a long time, and that naturally translated to me enjoying like Big Brother. And I watched the first season of The Circle, and I was like, you know, The Circle, it wasn't my favorite show, but I was like, this looks like a fun show. Like, I think I could play it differently than it was played in the first season, which could be kind of exciting, like play it more cutthroat. And so that was like my primary motivation to apply for it. Was that like, I'm competitive. I wanted to play the game. And obviously like the fact of like, oh, like, you know, you'd be on Netflix. Like that's pretty sick for sure. But, I think if it's like, you know, you want someone who just wants the status and you throw them on a competitive game show, they're not really going to know what to do with themselves. Like, they're just going to be like, okay, what's like my best outfit that I could wear today? And like, oh, like I have to backstab people. I don't want to do that. Like, it's just kind of, I think, and that happens on Big Brother. I feel like honestly Survivor has that like the least almost, which is kind of why maybe it's been successful for so long. But I don't know. I mean, what are your thoughts on that from like outside?
Yeah, I mean, well, doing Survivor, it would be very hard to go on that show and not at least have some sort of passion for the game.
Desire to play.
Because, you are living outside without food. You have to use the bathroom in the ocean. Yeah. Like, you're not, it's not a luxury time to then maybe get a blue check.
Yeah, also, it's weirdly the Survivor players of all the shows kind of like get the least followers, like proportionate to the audience. Like,
yeah,
it's one of the most popular shows, but I think a lot of it is like, you know, older, it's an older audience, so they're not going on Instagram and like following like a lot of them.
Yeah,
so it's like, you know, you gotta be really desperate to go on there to get like 10,000 followers and like starve yourself if you don't like it.
Yeah, when it's a lot of people with jobs, like they take a break from their job, they go do Survivor, and then they go back to their job.
Yeah,
so they're not really like looking for a way to make money off of it because they already have like an established career or they're already doing something that they are passionate about.
It's an older
this
demo.
Is just like a, oh, I've always wanted to try this one thing, do it once. But yeah, I do notice it in Big Brother, and that's a hard game to play to want to be an influencer, right? Because there's so much strategy involved. And I think we see that a lot towards the end with like the bitter jury. Usually if there's a bitter jury, it's because they don't understand the game. And they're bitter because they don't understand that backstabbing and doing all of that stuff is part of the game. And right when the final speeches are being said is when you sort of get over what was done to you, because that's when you start looking at it and saying, oh, I got out because they were playing the game. And if people are mad about it, you can kind of tell then that maybe they didn't really know what they signed up for. So
there's so many various perspectives about that too, because it's like, exactly, I think fans of the game too know what it is, and I think people being willing to make moves and like at the end of the day shake hands on it makes for better gameplay too. Like for me, I just view every sort of like, if I was like playing The Circle or playing Big Brother or playing Survivor, like at the end of the, I just think of it as like a macroscopic version of like Monopoly. Like when I'm playing Monopoly, it's like I don't have like loyalty to my friends, so it's like, you know, I could like steal your property in Monopoly, and then at the end of the day, we could like still be friends. And like, it's obviously a little more intense in like, you know, Big Brother when you're together for months, but it's like what I'm doing to win 500K is not like, like it doesn't reflect how I feel about you. It's just like a game. Like I just want to outsmart you. And that's like how I felt on The Circle, but naturally every show, The Circle, Big Brother, even Survivor. But I think Survivor probably struggles with that the least because people know it's like cutthroat. But there's always people that are like, oh my God, like you betrayed me. Like we can't be friends ever again. Like,
yeah. I mean, it's interesting, especially for a show like The Circle, where your level of friendship feels very deep for someone you've actually never seen in real life. To then carry that with you into the real world when you're now sitting next to the person to still be mad about something that happened when you were two computer screens and talking.
That's basically only happened in my season two. So, but exactly, it's like, yeah, I mean, I will say the weird camaraderie that forms in the circle, despite like, because you're like, oh my God, these people have talked to each other for like 5 days through a computer screen. Like, why do they actually care about each other? Like, I will say when you've gone through the whole process to get on the show, and then it's like you're just alone the whole time, like any form of interaction, you're like, oh, like this person thinks my outfit and my picture is cool. Like, that's my only friend now. Like, I guess we're friends. Like, that is, there is a case for that. But absolutely, it's like, why would I have loyalty to someone on the other side of a computer screen that I met a week ago over 100K? Like, just, at that point, you're just dumb. Like, what are you doing? Like,
well, and like you said, you've gone through all of this to get onto the show to then be like, oh, but Jack's really nice. I think he deserves the money.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
I did all this to get here. I'm going to fight for that 100K.
And it's even like, it's like for someone who's maybe you have like family, like maybe your family needs the money. It's like, it's way worse to be like, oh, I'm not going to betray this one person in this game because I just like, I like them. But I guess my family, like, I guess my kids aren't going to college. Like, you know what I mean? Like there's almost like an inverse thing there where it's like you have like a duty to try to win. Like,
and
that's not the case for everyone necessarily, but it's like sometimes the most loyal people in the games are like those family people. It's like, well, you know, you got the loyalty to your family too. But
I
wasn't really even in it for like the money like that. Obviously it would have been nice, but Netflix kind of stingy sometimes. So you know, there's don't tell them I said that, but and I got missed. My school did like an interview with me for like the school paper, and they honestly made me look so bad. And I was like, fuck you guys. Like, I was like, I carved out time in my schedule to like sit down with you and do this interview. And you were like, and the girl was like super nice to me. And then the paper just made me look like a douchebag. And I like, towards the end, she was asking me about like the money and the prize. I was like, obviously 100K, amazing. Like, could very well help your life. I was like, but compared to like Survivor, that's a million. Like, that's life-changing money.
Yeah.
And they just like cut the quote to me, saying like 100K isn't that much. And I was like, what? Like, now I was like, no, this is just not.
We're going to do that here.
Yeah. Maybe I'm just playing myself right now. But, and yeah, there's also like, they made me look bad for like, they asked me about like my logic for catfishing as like a sorority girl. And I said like, oh, I thought playing as like a cute little sorority girl would like help mask sort of my cutthroat side. And they like twisted that into being like, cause clearly girls aren't, he thinks clearly girls don't know how to strategize. And I was like, what? Like, this sucks. Like,
that's so funny.
Like, this is the school paper too. Like, no one gives a fuck about this. Like, you're trying to do like real journalism for like the school paper. Like, it's not that serious.
Investigating you. That is hysterical.
Gender piece in my school paper. It was the school spirit.
Oh my gosh. So last night we saw Michael and Brittany win the veto, and we've got this bestie twist. So really it was Brittany who wins the veto, and Michael also wins the veto. And we have like these pairs. They kind of picked their pairs, but not fully, because not everyone was an option when they were picking. How do you feel about the twist?
Yeah. I mean, we talked about this when the episode was coming out. You don't really like it, right? I'm open to seeing how it goes, but I definitely hope it's not something that's like a 6 week long like thing. I want it to be like like 2 weeks, maybe.
Yeah. And I mean, I see that. I just feel like it's so weird to, and I felt like this with the teams last year. I don't like how it's such an Big Brother is an individual game to then like kind of tie yourself to someone. I feel like it really does hurt certain people's games who could go really far in the long run.
Definitely.
But we never would know that, and we would never see that. Like, I think there were people last summer who got cut earlier because they were on a team that didn't serve them. And so they got booted, but they could have maybe, obviously they wouldn't have won because we had the cookout, but they could have made it a little bit farther, and it would have been fun to see how they played, but we wouldn't know that because of the team twist.
I do like in this one though, that there was that somewhat of an ability to like pick your partner more.
Yeah.
Cause I think there is a lot of like nuance and strategy to like how in, if you're in that moment at that challenge where you have to pick like
yeah.
what the best thing to do is. And it's kind of hard spur of the moment to know all like that, especially when you're focusing on the challenge.
Yeah. But I thought there's that was a lot of layers to it. And exactly. we saw people like dropping out of the challenge to then have a bigger advantage to pick their partner.
Yeah.
What would you have done if you were in that position? Would you have tried to win or would you have tried to get a good partner?
Yeah.
Or a partner that suited you best?
Yeah, no, I think especially given the fact that for like my personal big brother, like strategy, I guess, isn't that focused around like winning comps. I probably would try to like identify, you know, one or two candidates like this is like the best person for me to pair up with. And if I have the opportunity to go sit next to them, maybe then kind of throw it and go sit next to them. But like we were talking about, I think there's a lot of criteria on like, who do you want to sit next to? Cause at first you're like, well, let me sit with like my closest ally. Like we'll crush it. But then it's like we saw with Michael and Brittany, as if you sit next to your closest ally, you don't have anyone to like back you up. If you go on the block, cause yeah. you're both on the block together and people know you're a duo. So it's like, well, if we put them up, obviously they're going to split up. And if you, so I think it's almost best to like maybe pick someone that you have like a good personal relationship with, but you don't really have a strategic relationship with them, but you also have like complementary sort of positions in the game where like they have good connections with the side of the house like you're not connected with. So then you can like have your bases covered where nobody in the house is really going to want like you on the block or your partner on the block yeah. for like a given reason. And maybe that partnership with someone you like but haven't really strategized with leads to like a good alliance that could form too.
That's true. And with this twist, I mean, really the only tie you have, like your besties, but you're really only on the block together and competing together. You're not like tethered together.
Yeah, you'll go home
there
together.
Isn't yeah. like, you know, you really don't have to have that deep of a personal relationship yeah. with them because it's not like you're really stuck
and
together all day.
In the comps, you're competing, you know, to win for both of you guys, but you're also competing individually. Like yeah. your performance doesn't rely on the other person. Like
yeah,
it's like it's not like if I'm tethered to Jasmine because she has like a broken, like a sprained ankle or whatever, that I'm now gonna do worse in the comps. Like we don't, yeah. I don't have to like carry her.
Yeah, I mean, so, yeah, that's true. And we saw like she didn't even compete in this comp and she's yeah. safe because she
yeah
didn't have to compete. So her partner just happened to be the winner, and that's how that happened. And yeah, it is interesting. I'm curious to see how it plays out. I'm always going to wonder the rest of the season what would have happened if Paloma had stayed. Like, yeah. who would have gone home that first week? I think they had planned on doing the bestie twist potentially earlier. Mm-hmm. What that would have looked like. It's just so interesting to think, like, how they had to pivot. And mm-hmm. I always think about the production side just because of what I do. But yeah. I always think of like how they had to pivot in the moment
definitely.
When she decided to leave and like what that looked like.
Do you think they encouraged her to leave? Because I know, wasn't there controversy about her trying to like split the money with people?
Yes. So it is against the rules to discuss splitting the money with other contestants.
Mm-hmm.
It's seen as cheating.
Yeah.
It's an advantage that maybe they would just have you win if they know that they're going to get the money. She had her whole spiel about how she'd cracked the code and she was yeah. going to invest in other people's businesses. And that's how she was going to get around not splitting the money. I think that if it was that cut and dry as to why she left, she would have been eliminated earlier.
Yeah.
And I think that they would have, like, we wouldn't even have video evidence of her saying it because they would have yeah. cut the feeds.
Yeah.
But I do think that
I feel like once her mental health started to become, obviously they wanted to make sure that's in good order, but I'm sure, especially also the things that she was saying about like Taylor, they were probably like, this is a good opportunity. To
I do
take
think
care of this.
It was like it could have gone either way. There was such a perfect storm with her. She was clearly like having a mental breakdown,
yeah.
like no joke. Like she was just like having a mental breakdown.
Yeah.
She was talking about splitting the money, which is obviously against the rules. And she was being very mean, yeah. bullying yeah. Taylor.
So they were probably more than happy to.
I'm sure they were more than happy when she was like, oh, I want to leave. But I read, and I don't know the validity of this because I'm not on the production team for the show.
Yeah.
And I don't know anyone who is.
True.
But I had read a theory or a conspiracy, if you will, that she was, you know, very mentally ill, went to the diary room, did a mental health check, and she failed the mental health check. And the production team was encouraging her to go back into the game. And really? She decided not to.
Hmm.
And that is what I heard.
That would kind of surprise me, but...
But I don't know if that's true.
So at the end of the day, it's like, why does one production really care that much? Like, people got to go anyways. Like,
yeah.
If the one who's, like, been looking terrible online and is, like, cheating in a sense, like, wants to go, like, here's the door.
Yes, please leave. Yeah,
But that stuff does happen, so I like that. Like,
yeah, it's very interesting because there were, like, theories online that... Because of the twist, she was eligible. She could have potentially gone home that week that they would have, if she had decided to go back in, they maybe they did that or they wanted her to go back in to have her organically leave the game.
Sure.
And then via the twist, she would have been the house guest sent home.
Gotcha.
And that would have at least kind of like created this symbiotic, oh, someone was evicted. And she left because she was evicted, mm-hmm. even though she should have just gone home anyways.
Yeah.
And maybe to them, that would have saved them having someone who self-evicted. They would have kept the 16 altogether. And maybe that was their idea. And they were like, no, it's fine. Go back in and like, you'll go home or something like that. And she just decided to leave.
Yeah.
I don't know. But yeah, maybe they were just trying to like save face for the show.
Sure.
But I don't know. I mean, I guess we'll never know unless we get Paloma on the podcast. Then we'll know. Then we'll find out what really happened. I really don't think we've ever seen anything like this before.
With Paloma or with the new twist?
With Paloma. Okay. Like, we've seen people self-evict and, like, we've seen really crazy situations before. But this is, like, just a different level of so many factors. Like, it's either someone's kind of like losing it and then they leave or they get kicked out or whatever, but it was like a combination of like cheating, blatantly cheating, running around telling everyone that you're gonna win and they're gonna write a check to you and da 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 da. And then
like, I don't follow like the feeds that much, so I really didn't see like any of this.
I heard about it, she was going up to people being like, look, they're gonna write the check at the end for the $750K to me. They're going to write Paloma on the check. And then I'm going to go and I'm going to cash it in my bank account. And then I'm going to invest it in all of your businesses because I think we should all win. And like, here's the thing. If you came up to me inside of the Big Brother house and you were like, they're going to write the check to Jack Atkins and da 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 da, I basically already won.
Yeah,
I'd be like,
so
fuck
weird.
You.
Yeah,
I'm getting you out.
Oh,
you're
also,
not winning.
Like, 15 people left. 16 people left, bro. Like, let's play the
Literally at that point, no one had been eliminated.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
if
you
it was
think
like
you're
final
winning?
Three, and I was like, yo, if we could somehow each win like 250K, like I'd be like, of course.
Totally.
But also like broach it a little bit. You know, like you said, if it's like, hey, like, how can we split this? It's like, no, I'm winning. And I'll give you guys a little money. Like,
no, I'll invest $5K in your business, in your lash business or something, whatever they do, you know? Oh, I'll invest $5K in your influencer business. Like, some of these people probably don't even have businesses. It's like, you assume everyone on the show is a business
like
owner?
It would be like going and playing like a poker tournament. Because like, in a poker tournament, when it's like the final like five people, sometimes they'll like divide up the money a certain way, which is legal. But it would be like sitting down in the first hand, you're like, and let's just all get our buy-ins back. Like, I'll take the trophy and I'll just like Venmo you guys your buy-in and I'm the winner. Like, I'd be like, what?
What's the point? Oh my gosh. Yeah. I'm like, I hope that she's like resting and reflecting. Yeah. That's my hope for her.
Yeah.
Very crazy. But yeah, so I mean, we're seeing Taylor like really just go from like the deepest shit in the house to somehow like surviving week after week. And I'm wondering how long it will last before people either really accept her in to an alliance, like really not just like, oh, we feel bad, like really want her in or see her as the threat that I believe she is in the game, as someone who could really go far, mm-hmm. kind of playing under the radar. Like she came in, I think, wanting to play more of like a aggressive game because she like loves the show and watched The Cookout and was like very inspired by that. Mm-hmm. And I think now is sort of pivoting just due to the fact that everyone hates her for no reason and is sort of trying to like lay low. And sometimes laying low, as we've discussed, is a really good strategy. Yeah. And I think she could really go far. But do you think at some point people are going to be like, oh, wait, she's like laying a little too low now?
Yeah, I really don't know. Like, it's almost like that weird thing that sometimes happens in like Survivor after the merge where it's like, oh, nobody fucks with them. Like, can I curse? Or no?
Yeah.
Okay, it's like no one fucks with them. Like, we'll just bring them to the end so I could beat them. But it's like, bro, the game just started. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, if everyone's mentality is like, oh, no one likes Taylor. I think everyone's almost like, nobody likes Taylor, so I don't have to worry about her, like, mounting some insurrection against me. Like, she's just going to be chilling. But it's like, if everyone's like, oh, well, now I'm not worried about Taylor because nobody. And also, the hate about her at the beginning was pretty misplaced, I feel like.
100%.
Now, it's hard to say, like, I mean, it was definitely over the top, like, the things that were said about her. Granted, when you're in a house, sometimes, like, I think Taylor's super cool, but it's, like, sometimes you hang out with someone in person, and it's, like, maybe they just don't vibe with the group, which is, like, okay, I can see why that puts you on the outs. That doesn't warrant saying, like, bad things about that person.
Right.
But it's, like, I can see why she ended up on the outs, because she said herself she's, like, pretty introverted person. Again, yeah. doesn't warrant being, I don't even know specifically, but, like, the bad things that were said.
No, I agree. I mean, she definitely, I don't see her with this group of people as being like the most personable.
Yeah.
But like, I mean, granted, looking at the people, I probably wouldn't really want to hang out with them either. Yeah. So I get it. But I do think that that started the like, oh, she's not really talking with everyone. And then that was ammo for everyone and to be like.
When you're in that setting where it's like,
yeah,
it's literally like in your best interest to outcast people, then it just gets taken too far.
Yeah.
And then I think people probably realize, like, we've seen Michael talk about it. I think we see Kyle start talking about it, where it's like, she didn't do anything wrong. Like, why don't we like her?
It's very much like the Stanford prison experiment.
Yeah.
Like, it's giving, like, oh, like, we're in this environment and we've taken it, like, to the extreme. Like, it was just completely unnecessary and unwarranted. And it's one thing to strategically be like, this person could win. I don't want them to. I want to get them out.
But you don't
want
to just shit
and another to yell like, to like brutally some, like crucify their character on national television for really no reason at all. And and at that point too, it was just it's so soon. Like she could have been quiet because she's nervous. She's in the house. She watched this show.
Yeah.
She's like a mixture of excited and anxious and doesn't know what to expect. I mean, by this time that all of this was happening, they had been in the house for 5 hours. So it's like, of course, maybe she's not. Some people are over the top bubbly in those first few hours and some people just aren't. Yeah. And that's it.
Yeah, it
she
takes
kind of is more introverted, seems a little less talkative. And that's probably what was happening
and
in her
of
brain.
The rest of the girls too, because I think that's kind of where it started to stem from. I'm like there's not of the other girls, there's not really like anyone that I'm like, oh, like, if they don't like Taylor, then, like, I guess Taylor saw it. Like, it's
right.
Like, none of the girls are, like, none of the other girls are, like, people I think I'd specifically, like, really want to hang out with.
Yeah, I don't blame her for being
they're not
wanting
bad
to be
people, but it's, like, I don't think I'd vibe with them that well.
Yeah.
And it's, like you make your alliance the girls. Like, that's so corny. Like, like, that. I think that says something about that group of women, too. So, it's just, like,
that makes me wonder, in your opinion, like, how much of a play does casting have in this where they clearly, you know these people's personalities to an extent more than we do as, you know, new fans and just meeting these people on the show? Like, do they hold a responsibility, play a role in the fact that Taylor's the only one really not vibing with the girls? Because when they're looking at the pictures of these people and the personalities of these people, they have to kind of assume, oh, this person will get along with this person. This person might get along with this person. Do you think they hold any responsibility?
I guess, like, responsibility in the sense that, like, they're the ones that did the casting. Yeah, but I don't think there's, like, any... I don't think you could be like, oh, like, casting really messed this one up in terms of that. Because just, like, I know what you mean, where you might be like, hey, if you put, like, you know, like... some people will obviously click very well, but I feel like as the whole dynamic of the house, it's like impossible to ever know how it's going to work out. Like if I'm doing casting, like I might interview you, I might interview someone else that's like very nice and be like, okay, I don't see why they wouldn't get along. But then somehow, you know, you get in there, something just doesn't click. And then it's like, oh, why is there now like some sort of like, toxic, like things like that. Like you just never know. There's some people that there could be like different people that are like cool people. And just for some reason, like, you can't put a reason behind it. Like, they just don't click.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of what's happening with this one. But yeah, it's just weird to... Because I don't know. Like, I think, like, watching the show, Taylor seems really cool. But I could also see myself being in the house with her and also seeing, like, maybe why some of the people don't really like her. Like, I just don't know. And so, obviously, that's not an excuse to, like, talk shit about someone. But then it's also, like... What people need to realize is, like, you're in the house being on camera 24/7. So it's, like, the conversations that you might casually have with your friends at home about, you know, like classic little gossip or, like, someone you might even like and someone brings up something they don't like about them and you're like, oh, sure, yeah, like, they smell bad or something. It's, like, you, like, that's natural part of life. And I think that's why a lot of times Big Brother players, like, come out looking worse than I think they would expect because it's, like, those conversations you have about people that aren't in the room still get shown to everybody else. So it's like, you just have to watch what you're doing with that.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, it's a show really like no other. And we talk about kind of the nuances with like every show Survivor, you know, is just crazy in and of itself. It's just a show like there's nothing like that show. Mm. Amazing Race is the same. The Challenge is the same. But Big Brother is just so unique in that there's so many elements that impact it. It's shot in real time.
Yeah.
You can't watch it while the world is watching it. You can't explain it to the world while they're watching it because you're in the house still.
Yeah.
You are being recorded 24/7.
Yeah, it's
like
weird.
There's That's no so different other from, like, the show like that. Too, yeah. And so it's just really
because I couldn't imagine like coming out of it at the end and then you go out and everyone like already knows who you are. Like you.
Yeah. Like, yeah. You had.
I had like 6 months to like prepare. And it's still weird when it happens. But it's like if I'm just playing a game the whole summer and I come out and people like come up to me the next day, it's like you haven't even processed the experience you just had.
Yeah. That's what's really crazy is like the check hasn't even cleared yet. And you're out in the world and everyone knows who you are.
Yeah. Yeah. And. Yeah, it's just like very, and I feel like I've asked, you know, Big Brother friends about that a little bit, but it's just obviously such a different experience.
Yeah.
In the circle, it's like we are being filmed 24/7, but there's only a handful of like producers watching and they obviously show just a fraction of it.
Right. So. Is that weird? Like when you watched back on the circle, were you like, oh, I'm shocked they didn't show that conversation? Or, oh, that's weird that they didn't include this. And, like, there's so much missing from your story that you know you lived, but it, obviously they can't put everything on.
Yeah.
Were there things you were like, oh, that's so weird that that didn't make the cut?
Honestly, not really. Like, I think they actually, of course, they only showed, like, a fraction of the conversations, but I think they showed a greater fraction than people would probably guess. Like, I guess they probably showed like 40% or like 50% of my conversations, which is like a good amount. So no, I wasn't, I guess weirdly, I wasn't like that. I didn't feel like that much stuff got left out. There were a few things like general plot points of the season that got left out that surprised me, but I wasn't really involved in that. So no, with that, I definitely... was not too surprised, but I think when you take a game like Survivor, Big Brother, where you're literally constantly having face-to-face interactions, there's going to be so many moments from that that you think are going to make it that don't. Whereas like the circle is like very intentionally limited because if they just let us like, even if they let us message each other like with no restrictions, there'd just be way too many conversations to like make a storyline out of.
Yeah.
So they limit the conversation so that you know, they pick the most important ones, they show them, and like that's the story, which it kind of is, because like we don't have any, we literally have no other interactions, where it's like we might be playing Big Brother, and then maybe you and I like have breakfast one morning, like that changes things somehow, like we have a conversation at breakfast, and it's like if that doesn't get shown, I could be like, oh well, that was the moment, like that this changed. Where in the circle, it's like if I'm not having an actual on like part of the game conversation, I'm just sitting there like reading a book and I'm like, nothing's changing. So
yeah, that is a really interesting. And like, do you so you don't get to do anything else? Like, you're not allowed to watch TV, you obviously don't have they your phone.
They did let me watch TV sometimes before I went to bed, which was not, it was kind of trippy because they'd put on Netflix and I'm like, I'm literally in a Netflix show right now and then watching Netflix. And it was in the UK, so they had like some new Netflix. Like I was watching like Rick and Morty and Always Sunny on Netflix, which was pretty fun.
Are you allowed to watch The Circle?
I didn't ask that question. That would be kind of funny. I didn't even think about that, honestly, but probably. We had a quarantine for 2 weeks before the season started, so I did watch some like the UK version of The Circle. So obviously, like the more I watch, like it just helps you like get ready to navigate the game. Now, I don't know if everyone in the game ended up being like ever watched TV. Like, I know some people didn't realize like that was an option. I don't really know if it was supposed to be an option, but they wouldn't let you though, like during the day, because in between like conversations or like games, they want you to be doing stuff that can make for like funny moments, you know what I mean? So even if they're like, okay, Jack, like go play, like, well, they don't tell you, but I'm like, if I go shoot darts for an hour, there's going to be some moment where I do some funny shit that they can put, but if it's just like you sitting there watching TV, like it's never going to be anything funny. So they would only let me do that as I was falling asleep. They'd like throw it on because we were done with like everything for the day.
Wow.
Because also it would be like, okay, like the day's, then it's fully over. But I was like, I'm not tired yet. So I'd be like, can I just chill for an hour and watch TV? And they're like, okay, you can do that. Because they're not going to take any like funny footage of me when the lights are literally like out in the apartment.
Yeah.
And I can't control the lights.
You couldn't control the lights.
No, I don't think so. Like in the morning, like they would just turn the lights on and they'd be like, and they were all British. They'd be, okay, Jack, like it's time to wake up, babes. And I'd be like, they actually let us sleep. Like, I think, well, we didn't have the clocks or anything either. So I never knew what time it was, but I think my guess is, like, usually I think, because sometimes I would ask and they like tell me what time it is. I think usually we'd end around like 1 or 2 a.m. and then they'd wake us up at like 9 or 10 a.m.
1 or 2 a.m.?
Well, yeah, because the thing, but it was like, it wasn't nonstop. So it would be like, if there was a blocking, we'd have like ratings. And then, like, you know, the influencers have to go up to have the conversation. But then they have to like escort the influencers up like separately so they don't see each other. And then it takes a long time for them to converse. And then, like, so it's like sometimes they'll be up there for, like, 2 hours. So you'll just be, like, sitting there, like, sweating your ass off in your room. Like, what's going to happen? And then, like, someone gets blocked. But then it's like, okay, now the blocked person needs to, like, go visit someone. And they need to, like, set that up. So it'll be, like, you know, the influencer might go up to meet at, like, 9 p.m. And then that whole process takes, like, 3 to 4 hours sometimes.
Wow.
So, yeah, so that was definitely nerve-wracking. Yeah, there was actually only a couple times in my season, though, where I was, like, vulnerable to be eliminated, if that makes sense. Like, because I was safe the first round. I was influencer the second round. The third round, I was vulnerable, and I was definitely nervous. Watching it back, I was actually closer to going home than I thought. Like, I was, like, the backup option, I think. And the fourth week, I got blocked. The fourth round, I got blocked. But there was not even influencers that round. It was just, like, they did, like, the bottom two people got blocked.
Right.
If there was influencers that round, I actually don't think I would have gone home that round.
I agree.
But because it would have been Chloe and Kat. And Kat told me, like, she didn't want to come for me. And Chloe was, like, my closest ally. And obviously, at that point, she knew I wasn't, like, who I said I was. But I figure, especially because I think the producers liked her, I figure the producers probably would have, they don't tell you what to do, but they might be like, well, even though like Emily's might be a, like, you think that they might be a catfish, don't you think they'd still have your best interest in mind? And she'd probably be like, I didn't think of that. Like, and then she'd be like, I guess I'll keep my mate Emily in the game.
Oh, my God.
But I think if I did stay that run, I'd probably go soon after that. So, like, the way it worked out for me, it was, like, after the makeup challenge, like, that was probably the best way for me to make it to the end, was, like, come back as a new person. But then, like, when I came back as a new person, the first blocking, like, we were safe because you get, like, one round of safety when you join the game. And we only had to survive one more after that. So there's only, like, three blockings throughout the course of the game where I was, like, actually, like, sitting there waiting to see who got blocked. And I was, like, freaking out.
Wow. That's wild. So when they were talking to you, they called you Jack.
No, they called me Emily.
They called you Emily.
Yeah, because all the producers just call you by your game name, because if somehow, like, they're communicating on, like, walkie-talkie with someone else and, like, another producer with, like, another player, they don't want to accidentally be like, oh, like, we're bringing Jack down to his room. And the other, if someone, like, somehow overheard that, they'd be like, who the fuck's Jack? Like,
oh, my gosh. That's so, so they'd be like, good morning, Emily.
Yeah, if I remember correctly, yeah, they'd always call me Emily, which is kind of trippy.
And Emily's your real friend.
Yeah, but her name's not even Emily, it's Marielle, so, yeah. I honestly was, like, when I was doing the interviews, and they're like, do you know what name you would use? I was like, no, I could, like, think about it, though, like, I can get back to you, and they're like, no, just pick one. I was like, all right, Emily. I was like, Emily's, like, a basic-ass white girl name, so... That's, like, when during casting, I was like, that's what I'm trying to, like, amplify, because that's, like, my hook, I guess. But that's, I was like, in so reality, funny. In the game, it would be better if I had a name that, like, maybe a little bit more, like, a little more flavor to it. You know what I mean? Because it's like, you see, like, in the circle, being a basic white girl with a basic white girl name is not the best way for everyone to be like, that's who I want to ally with. They seem cool. And I knew that going in. Because, like, obviously, I didn't think, like, playing as Emily was, like, my best chance to win. But I was, like, this is my best chance to get cast. Which is the most important step in the battle.
I mean, you won that.
Yeah,
that's exactly. The competition you won.
But in retrospect, it would have been fun to... Because also, something I observed, just, I guess, in my season and in general, I felt like if someone has, like, a really out there name, they're usually not a catfish. Because it's, like, if I'm catfishing as... Taralisha, like, I've never fucking heard the name Taralisha. Like, I'm not gonna be like, you know what, let me make my name Taralisha. You know what I mean? But it's like, if you're playing as, like, a basic, like, yeah, and you're just like, oh, I'll be like Emily, likely, or I'll that be that's like
just pulled from nowhere.
Yeah, or I'll be like Trevor. I guess his real name is Trevor, but it's like, if you're making up a name, like, my friend Alex on season 4 played, like, a fratty guy and just made his name, like, Nathan. Like, that's a pretty basic. If a name was like Maximus or something, you'd be like, no way this dude just randomly picked that name.
Right.
You'd be like, that's a real name.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
So that's something I, like, kind of thought of.
Interesting.
But I was like, gotta appease the casting people.
What was like, that really... conversation like with your friend when you're like, hey, I'm gonna be on this show and yeah. I'm using all of your photos. Well, I had photos. To ask her
permission first. So when they first called me, it was a sunny June day in, like, 2020, and I, like, didn't know if I wanted to, they were like, do you know if you'd want to catfish or not, or whatever? I was like, I'd literally do whatever, like, you could tell me to catfish, it was, like, anyone, like, I'd just do it, and they're like, okay, we're gonna, like, talk amongst each other and, like, try to think of, like, a good angle, and so they called me back, like, what if you played, like, a sorority girl, and I was like, I'm down, like, I think that would be so funny. So then they're like, okay, like, send us over some, like, potential options. And I was like, shit, I don't really have that many, like, girlfriends, right? Like, at the time. This was also just, like, during COVID, so I, like, hadn't really seen that many people in, like, 5 months.
Yeah.
But I was, like, cool with her, and like, a couple other friends that I hit up about it. But off the bat, I was kind of, like, her. She seemed like a good choice because I'm, like, she's 4'11", like, super cute. Like, that felt like a... natural sort of counterpart to like who I knew that they perceived me to be.
Yeah.
And that's what they want. Like, they want like juxtaposition in the casting. It's like, and I also was like, I don't want to play. And we talked about this. I was like, I don't want to play like a model girl. Cause they usually don't do well either. And it's also, yeah, like,
you want to
pick
a normal.
Yeah. Like
girl.
A relatable, like call it like girl next door, college girl. And so as soon as I asked her, and then they, like, she was at first a little, like, confused, but then she was, like, down. And then as soon as I sent her over, like, the casting people were like, this is, like, we really like this one. And I was like, I like this one, too, so we'll just roll with it. And she got paid too for using her photos.
Really?
So, yeah.
Oh.
She made like almost as much as I did. but yeah, and through that we became a lot closer too. So that was like a fun thing. But
she didn't go out with you.
No.
Yeah,
no.
She stayed home.
Stayed home. Yeah, a little passive income. But but yeah, it's pretty. I don't even know exactly where we were at, but
that's really funny.
That whole casting process was pretty. I have some funny stories from that too. Like when they first called me, it was like 2 months after I applied, so I really wasn't thinking about it. And I was like walking to the store to like pick up beer or something. And it was like an unknown number, so I thought it was like maybe one of like my fraternity's like pledges, like asking if I could like do them a solid, like grab like a pack of like White Claw or something. So I picked up the phone. I was like, "Yo, it's good, bro." And like the casting guy was like, "Hey, this is like blank from like casting for The Circle." And I was like, "Oh fuck, my bad." he's like, "No worries, dude. Like, this is honestly so funny. Like, you're already off to a great start." I was like. Like, I'm so sorry, dude. I thought you were, like, a frat bro of mine. But in hindsight, it was, like, kind of perfect because I, like, picked up. I was like, what's good, bro?
Oh, my gosh. That is so funny.
And I almost didn't make it out there because that summer, my frat house got robbed and they stole my passport. And so I got my new passport. And because of COVID, there was no, like, expedited shipping. And so I got my passport, like, 3 days before I was supposed to leave. Like, oh my god, like, let me steal this guy's passport.
How do they get all that stuff? Like, do they have a moving truck outside?
I don't know. They also left, like, my Xboxes there, but, like, stole, like, my friend's hat. I was like, I don't really...
Just took whatever they could grab.
Yeah, I'm like...
You're like, we have an Xbox, but no TV.
Yeah. No, our house is very bad security. Like, it's basically every other summer it gets robbed. And I was living there that summer, though, so, like, I wasn't locking my door. Like, this summer, it's, all my shit's locked up. But I was, like, I was out with a friend, like, grocery shopping, and we came back, and we were, like...
Oh, my God.
Yeah, we just got robbed. And it was so... My friend's girlfriend came over, too, to, like, assess the situation. And the window near the door was, like, it was obviously came in through the window. But she was, like, but how'd they get out with all this stuff? And I was, like... I used the door. She was like, oh shit, you're right. But I honestly can't even lie because for a second I was like, how did they get the TVs out of the window? And I was like, wait, they just opened the door from the inside. Like, I was like, oh my God.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah. So I assumed that there was going to be expedited shipping. So once they like said things were starting to get like more serious in the process too, they told me, like, go get my passport renewed. And I was like, okay, I'll just get expedited shipping. It'll take, like, 2 weeks. But I go, and they're like, yeah, it's going to be, like, 6 to 8 weeks. And this was 6 weeks before I was supposed to potentially leave. I was like, okay, worst case, maybe they can, like, bump me to season 3. And then at the beginning of August, or no, beginning of September, they called me. They're like, they want you on season 2. And I was like, amazing, but I was like, I don't know if I'm gonna have my passport. So I was like super stoked, but that whole like next 3 weeks, I was like, I'm so pumped, but I'm like, I didn't allow it to like set in. I'm like, I can't get excited about this because I might not be able to go if I can't get my passport. And like, my parents were trying to help me. So my dad, shout out to my dad, did like some research, and he realized like if you call like your local like congressperson's office or something, they could send some sort of like notice to the passport, like whatever office yours is being made at, to like really like get on it. And so he called them on like a Friday, and then it arrived on Monday, and then I left like on Thursday. So I don't know if my dad didn't like do that, I don't know if I like would have been on The Circle. Also, I was also nervous because the week leading up to me leaving for the show was our school's like orientation week, which this was during COVID, so it was pretty low key. But I lived in the frat house. And so, like, every day people were, like, coming over and hanging out. I was like, if there's ever a time I'm going to get, like, COVID, it would be this week. And if I get it right before, like, that would just be
awful.
You
can't go.
So
oh,
I was
my
like,
gosh.
So I was like, I don't have my passport. I might get COVID. Like, we'll see if I make it. And, like, luckily it just somehow, like, all came together. And I made it out there. So that was great.
Rap.
And I was like, maybe I would have gotten pushed back to season three, but I was like, I don't know for sure. Like, you don't want to like bank on that.
Yeah.
Or it's like, maybe I don't get my passport and then I get COVID right before I go to season three. I'd just like be screwed. So.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, that's crazy. That was so stressful. You were like meant to be on that show, obviously, whatever reason.
I mean, maybe I wouldn't have gotten robbed though in the first place, but.
But think about it. What if you had gotten robbed like any later than that? Then you wouldn't have gotten your passport in time.
I would have been, like, you had to get robbed right then. True. Perfect time for robbery. Although I will say, because I was banking on it being expedited, I probably waited like a month after I got robbed to like go do it. And then I got there. I was like, yeah. But I was still pretty early after the process started. So I was like, I'm probably not even going to get on the show. Like, it doesn't really matter.
Wow.
Yeah. And they told me, like, yo, you need to go. Get that shit sorted because we like you. And I was like, I'm sick.
That is so crazy.
I know that, and like my few friends that were around that I like shared this information with were like so pumped for me, but I was like, who even knows? Like, just keep my passport in your prayers.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So that was like that whole process was like the first summer of COVID. So that was like my whole focus that whole summer. It was like,
wow,
figuring out how to get on the circle, I guess.
That is insane. But like, you did it, and you did, yeah. I mean, you did well.
Yeah. Thank you. I was definitely frustrated at times because I think the circle is a really, as a player, is a really hard show to like be strategic on because your conversations are limited. And you don't have like the ability to just go talk to anyone whenever you want. Like if you're in Big Brother, you could pull a plan like 5 minutes before like the elimination where it's like, you could like get a bunch of people in a room and be like, is everyone down? Everyone's down. Bam. That's the plan. In the circle, it's like, if I want to make an alliance, it's going to take me like half of the game to talk to that alliance. Like each person.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, if I want to like put a target on this person's back, it's going to take me like, I have to like talk to like four people. That's gonna take like 3 days, and then by then it's like the whole game might be different.
What was your strategy for like the ratings? Like, were you really rating for people that you liked, or were you thinking like, oh, I like them, a lot of people like them, let me bump them down?
My rating strategy, I'd say it was pretty simple. Top is people that I trust that I think could be the influencer. Next tier is people that I trust that probably won't be. So it's like, I don't want to waste my vote by putting them at the top. Then it's people that I don't really trust, but that probably won't be the influencer. And then the bottom is like people that I don't really trust that might be the influencer. And it worked pretty well, I feel like.
Yeah.
As far as like getting Chloe influencer a lot, because I was like, a lot of people like her. I'm her bestie in the game. Like,
yeah.
If she's influencer, that's fantastic. So that was sort of my general strategy. And that was a good way to like be strategic. And like, not everyone thinks, I'm not like, that strategy wasn't anything like super clever, but some people just like rate straight up like, I like you the most, you're one, bam bam bam.
Yeah.
But other than that, like, also if you're not an influencer, you have no like influence on the game. And so obviously it takes like good strategy and social skills to become the influencer, but it's like, on the off chance that you're not, like, it's not like Survivor or Big Brother where everybody has a vote. It's like, you're just sitting there like hoping you don't go home.
Yeah.
And so, and also, and like, I think the name of the game in the circle too, it's like the way you, I think the best strategy in the circle isn't one that supports like backstabbing people, which I think is a fun part of the game. Cause like in the circle, if someone, like, backstabbing someone implies that they trust you. And if they trust you, they're probably rating you high and you just want to be rated high in the game. So, and the way the final ratings go too, a lot of times it's just such a weird toss up that it's like, it's not like Survivor where you're like, okay, I trust this person, but they're going to beat me. I need to take them out. Or like in Big Brother.
Yeah.
Where, so like, there's no really incentive in the circle to like pull big moves. It's kind of just like, okay, who trusts me the least? Like, let me get rid of them.
Yeah.
So it's just not that complex.
Interesting.
I actually have a change that I think the show should do that I'll throw out.
Okay.
But, because you know how a lot of the strategy too is me being like, it doesn't matter who's a catfish and who's not, because there's no actual impact on the game.
Yeah.
And then I think that kind of hurts the show. It's like, why are people aimlessly like hunting for catfish when it doesn't matter?
I agree.
I think they need to give there a reason for people to care. And so I think what they should do is put like a bounty system in place. So I think every catfish should have like a 10K bounty on them. So if you knock out the catfish, the 10K gets added to the winner's prize, which can still be won by a catfish if they make it to the end. But then it's like, oh, well, why would anyone want a catfish then? Like, it's harder. So I think if you make it to the end, then you get to keep your bounty.
I think that
would be a good system.
I think that is genius.
I gotta put in a call, but...
Yeah, well, maybe they're listening right now.
Maybe. They love to... They definitely care a lot about me, so they're probably tapped in everything I'm doing.
No. I think that's actually really a good idea, because we talk about this all the time, like... Why? I always get so frustrated when people are like, oh, I'm coming for the catfish.
Yeah,
I'm like,
matter.
Why? Because like you said, if like Chloe's idea about you, if the catfish has my back, that's genuine.
The catfish has to work with somebody.
It doesn't matter if their photos are genuine or not.
People started to realize that in season 4. But again, like, which is good strategy, but then you're just watching and it's like, well, then it just doesn't. It's just
then
not,
what's the point? Why did we even bother?
It's the same thing sort of with like Too Hot to Handle, where it's like, okay, the premise of the show is nobody hooks up, but they obviously want everyone to hook up. So it's like, we're just kind of counterproductive here.
Yeah, yeah. That is really interesting.
Like, the premises should support the goal of the show, not like counteract it. But yeah, I think the bounty thing would be cool, because then there's actual reason to go for people and like figure out who's a catfish.
So my question for you, when you saw Lance pop up, you didn't know who Lance was.
No. And I actually, back to your question on like, is there anything that was shown that wasn't shown that I was surprised wasn't shown, would be maybe my reaction to Lance Bass popping up. Because also, I think they edited it a little bit differently. When he showed up on our screen, it had his full name there. Like at the start, it was like Lance Bass. Because I think when in the episode, it just says Lance.
Yeah.
So I was like, Lance Bass. I was like, who the fuck is Lance Bass? Or I was like, is it Bass? Is it Bass? I don't even know. Like, is this a DJ? Like, he looks like, why is his last name in there? Is he more important than the rest of us? Like, he's got to be more important than the rest of us. I was like, but I don't know who it is. And I was like, but Lance Bass, like, that sounds like a DJ name. Like, he's like, boomps, boomps. And I was like, what kind of name? I was like, what is it, a fucking Charizard? Like, I don't, is it a Pokemon? Like, they didn't show any of that. And I was like, oh man, like,
genuinely, like, that wasn't an act. You just
I had no idea.
You've never heard it in sync.
I knew I've heard it in sync, but I, other than like JT, like, I didn't know any of the members.
But now you know, you've met Lance.
Yeah, yeah.
Was he upset that you didn't know who he was?
I don't think so.
He didn't give you a hard time?
Maybe he hit it well. But I think he's got enough going on, or he's probably not too worried. He's like, dude, why didn't Jack know who I was? Yeah, but... That was pretty funny.
Yeah, I think it's funnier that, like, you're the one who, like, really didn't know who that was, and then you ended up, like, being partnered with Lisa, and then now you're, like, now Lisa is my partner, Lance is my partner. Were you shocked that Lisa was a catfish?
No, not really. Like, a lot of people said they were on to Lance about, like, X, Y, and Z, and, like, why would this celebrity come play the circle? But I was like, I don't know who they are, so I really don't know, like, what
they're
like.
How big of a celebrity they can be.
I was like, maybe they just like the show. Like, I fucking, and the people were, like, on to them about, like, things that they did or didn't do, like, in their career. And I'm like, I don't know any of this. So I'm just like, if they're being nice to me, like, that works for me. Because also, like we were saying, like, people are, like, trying to get catfish out. But I'm like, if anything, it's almost an added reason, because they're going to be, like, insecure about their position. So if you're just like, oh, my God, you're... definitely you, like, I love you, they're gonna be like, this is my best ally in the game. You know what I mean? So I mean, but Lisa's strategy when she was playing Lance, like, wasn't super like, it definitely felt like I could see that why it was a catfish. Like, it didn't, like, fully click like some other people did. But I wasn't like, some people were, so, like you said, like we were talking about, so caught up in, like, oh, I knew you were a catfish. I'm like, bro, I didn't even care. Like, I'm like, okay, like, yeah. And I'm not going to, like, I just didn't really think about it. And they'd ask me, like, who do you think is a catfish? Like, honestly, like, maybe, like, X, Y, and Z. Like, I think a lot of the game I thought Courtney and Trevor, I thought, might have been catfish. I think we're, like, my prime suspects. But I was like, I like Trevor, so, like, on... Like, I don't care. Like, I'm a catfish too. Like, it's even more ironic when the people who are catfish are like, we gotta get the catfish. I'm like, what?
Yeah. No, it is really funny.
But no, Lisa was awesome. It was so funny when we first met. And I think they showed, it like showed on screen, but I don't think the extent of it of me, I genuinely thought that it, because I went to go meet Trevor. So I genuinely thought this was like Trevor's like mom or something. And so for the first minute I'm there, I'm like operating on the assumption that this is Trevor. And the producer was like, well, hold on, babes. Why don't you guys introduce yourselves? And I was like, oh, like, what's up? I'm Emily. And I was like, you're like Trevor, right? And they're like, no, I'm Lance. I was like, huh? I was like, this is news to me.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. And so that was so funny. But no, Lisa's.
When you Lisa's left your room, did they like, because you get eliminated and then they'd like tell you can go meet someone. Mm. Were you going to meet Trevor?
Yeah. Yeah. And Lisa's going to meet River. They just had us meet each other. Which was, I mean, it worked. That was a great moment.
That's, that was the like thing about the one of my favorite moments. And like you two as a duo, I don't know if it was the height. I don't know if it was just the personality. Yeah. Like, it was such like a wonderful moment in the circle.
Yeah, I felt that. And I felt like watching it back, like I liked how I came across the most when I was with Lisa. And I think it's like the thing about the circle too is like it's hard to be that funny when you're just alone. Like, I feel like I'm the most entertaining when I'm like bantering with people and like having like witty remarks. It's like, if I'm just sitting by myself, like it's pretty hard to do that. So as soon as I'm with someone that I can actually interact with, like I felt like it just like made me so much more likable because I just and so I liked that, and it was like, yeah, so that was super nice, and that's why I also think if they, like I said, if they do like an All Stars or something, it would be cool if it was like all duos of people, because seeing those people interact together could be really fun. Like imagine like Joey and Shoebomb as like a duo,
so iconic,
or like
iconic.
Just so many good possibilities. Or like Savannah and Courtney would be such a fun duo to watch. Yeah. Or like me and Mitch or me and Lisa again. Like would be hilarious. Yeah. Yeah. So I think that's part of something about the circle too that is tough. It's like it's hard to really get invested in people when they're just like alone, I feel like. But
yeah, that's true. I do feel like I like loved you two together.
Yeah.
Like just it was the best.
Yeah. It was funny because at the end of the second drop of the episodes was when we got blocked and they like teased that we were going to go be a team. So I remember like reading online people, like all their theories about like how we would function together. And so many people being like, they don't have anything in common. Like they're like, Jack looks like he doesn't have any respect for women. And I was like, little do you know, like we actually got along tremendously. So then the next week when everyone like loved us, I was like, suck it.
Literally like so iconic. When you were like in the same, like now you're in a new apartment, I guess. Mm-hmm. So you've like moved out.
Upgraded to a two bedroom.
It was a two bedroom.
Yeah.
Okay.
People also ask that. They're like, do you guys sleep together?
Well, I didn't know if maybe at night they like moved you to just like another suite or like if you were
the first night of our, like when we first met each other, they had me go back and sleep in mine because all my stuff was there. And then we like, in the next morning, but we slept in the same apartment. We had two bedrooms.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was great.
So once you were like back after that first night, you got all your stuff. You didn't leave that apartment again.
No. Yeah.
So they aren't like bringing you in and out. That's so interesting. No. You really are like in lockdown.
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty much. We had so much fun. Like I was saying, like that's the thing. Especially, I had been alone at this point for like 9 days, and then prior to that, the 2 week quarantine, I was basically alone the whole time.
Yeah. I want to ask about that. Do you have your phone at any point in this process? Like, what are you doing to like stay busy? So
the worst part of it was the initial 2 week quarantine that we had to do coming to the UK. And I was completely alone for that. Like, I didn't see anyone except for when they dropped off like groceries, and they took our phones, but they gave us like, I wouldn't say burner. They basically gave us like shitty, like old like Android phones. Nothing on Android, but they're like the old ones. And they had like a bunch of parental controls and stuff on them so that you couldn't use like most things on it. So like the only thing I could do was like, they let us use WhatsApp so we could like text like friends and family on there. And then I could like download like phone games. but I couldn't download, like, and I could, like, watch YouTube, but I couldn't download, like, any social media or anything, because they were worried with social media, you'd be able to, like, maybe find other people in the area that were, like, waiting to play, too. But then when the two-week quarantine came to a close, there was, like, a four-day period between that and then starting the game where I had, like, a chaperone that would, like, bring me to do, like, our intro, like, shoot, like, we'd shoot the intro package and, like, obviously the day that we started, like, bringing me to set and things like that. And when I had him, and he was super chill, his name was Sam, but when he was with me, they let me, they gave me my phone back. And my ex, I brought my Xbox, and for the quarantine period, they confiscated that because they were like, well, it was funny. So they had two people move me in. It was like there was like two PAs, but one of them was like in charge of like helping me like checking through my bag and like helping me unpack. And the other was like, had like a checklist or whatever. And she was like, oh, I'm not sure about like the Xbox. And the dude who was like meant to like help me like unpack everything, he was like, no, no, it's fine. Like, he just wants to play Call of Duty. Like, and I was like, yeah, I just want to play Call of Duty. He's like, he doesn't even have his headset. Like, he can't even communicate with anyone. I was like, I can't communicate with anybody. But she like called like the one of the head producers and was like, oh, well, they said you might be able to like go on the internet on your Xbox, like go on Tinder, like try to find people around here that are going to be playing. I was like, I wasn't going to do that, but I guess you're not wrong. So, but then when I had my chaperone, like they gave me all my stuff back and I was like, this seems a little like counterproductive here. Like, you went through all these like precautions, and obviously I was like, I'm not going to do anything. Like, why would I risk going on, like, but I could, when I got my phone back, I could like go on Instagram and stuff, but I was like, why would I be stupid enough to like post something?
Right.
And like, that's just not worth it.
What did you do? Like, did you post anything like, oh, I'm taking like a break from the internet, or, oh, no. I'm like, you just didn't.
No one cared about me that much that it really mattered.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. I didn't have a follower or anything then. So
how many followers did you have before you went on?
Like 1400.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
So like all my friends, and like, I didn't post much. Like, I'd post like an Instagram post like every 2 months, like just so people could see that I was balling. But so it wasn't like my lack of social media presence was like a giveaway at all. I wouldn't do anything on there. But yeah, that was, and then also like, when we had the chaperone, they'd like take us for walks, like we were walks to get like fresh air around the city.
Damn.
And I was like, I appreciate this, but it's like, we did just quarantine for 2 weeks, and it's like, now for this 4 day period, you're gonna like re-expose us to the world. I was like,
yeah,
a little bit confusing, but I guess it's kind of necessary. The thing is though, like, I was super lucky to be in the first eight, because there were people on season three, like they flew some season three people out there with me for season two, because they didn't know exactly like what permutation of people they wanted. And so there were people out there for season three that were in that sort of like chaperone phase for like a month. And it wasn't the worst thing in the world, but just like, even the 4 days that I was there, like I enjoyed my chaperone, but it was like, what, like, I don't know when I'm going to go in. Like, they didn't tell me I was going in until the day before. So I was like, I don't know if I'm going to even get on. Like, this could be a long time. And then thankfully, like, now they had made it pretty clear to me that they wanted me on season two. Other people, I think they're a lot more like vague, like, we'll fly you out, see what happens. For me, they're like, we want you on season two. So I was like, felt pretty good about that. I was like, playing, that was more fun because I had like a friend around, like, I was
yeah,
a chaperone,
you have
and
somebody
I had, like,
are
my,
they cool, like,
he was cool. Yeah, they try to match you based on like your, so he was like a 23-year-old like British kid, like,
cool.
Yeah, and he was very chill. And that was a good time, and then we went into the show. And it's funny though, the first thing that you do after your quarantine ends is that the next morning you go and shoot the intro package, which is like what you see where it's like, hey, I'm Jack, I'm 20 years old. Jesus, yeah, I was only 20. I was like, hey, I'm, and I like this, like this at the start. But when you do those, you don't know if you're going to be on the show or not. So that's like literally like the last interview almost. So you really have to like ham it up. And that's why like some of the things I said in that, I feel like didn't align with like how I played the game. But it was like, because I knew that they wanted this from me, I was like, I'm giving everything like you guys want.
Yeah.
And that's why it's like, sometimes it's kind of cringy. And that's why I think when I watch like other shows too, with like the intros, sometimes people say super cringy stuff.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, they're
trying to put
kinda
it on.
Got pushed there. Like,
yeah.
Because they literally asked me a few things to, like, just, they were just, like, say, they were like, can you give us an evil laugh? And I was like,
let's hear it.
No, it was just terrible. Like, I was just like, wahaha. And then I was like, I'm sorry, that's so bad. But, like, I will, you could ask me to do a lot worse than that. I would do it just to get on the show. So, yeah, it was funny. But, yeah, there's literally people that, like, shoot the intro packages and don't get on any of the seasons and, like, go home. There's, like, lost files out there probably.
We find them.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, that's crazy. Okay, last thing before we end.
Sure.
We have to do the handshake.
Oh, yeah. Can you reteach it?
Yeah.
We watched the video earlier.
So it's
like
one, two.
Like that. Mm. And then the bow. Love that. I came up with that on the spot.
It's such a fire handshake.
I think there was an additional part to it where I think at the end she would like Harry Potter me and I'd like die. I'm pretty sure. Because our costumes were like Gryffindor kind of color, like the nerd ones. So I added like that Harry Potter little thing to it. Maybe they got copyrighted for that. I'm like partly joking, but maybe they didn't want to include like the.
No, it's true. That happens because they do that on Big Brother. Sometimes people will name their alliance like something that's like the name of a Beyonce album or the name of something else. And they have to change the name. The like production will be like, hey, you can't call your alliance that. Yeah.
So
it's very interesting.
Yeah, they kind of cut out our Harry Potter tribute, but dang. I think that was in there too. And I'd like, yeah, she'd like do it and I'd like fall into the couch and just like wait. It's pretty funny.
I love that. Oh my God.
Yeah, it was fun.
Wow.
But yeah, it was funny when you told me that like you remembered that you do that handshake sometimes. I'm like, oh, like I did, like I didn't even remember what it was. I'm like, I love it though.
It's the best. It's the best handshake.
Yes.
Are we still rolling? Yeah. Okay. So I'll just end it. We'll just do. Did we get the handshake?
Yeah. We got that part and then it died right after.
Okay. That's all we need for the TikTok. And I'm sure there's things we can cut for social from that. Okay. Yeah. Then that's fine. We'll just. The audio is the thing. I mean, sometimes, yeah. I mean, Tiff's interview obviously did really well on YouTube, but all the rest, like, don't get that many.
How did Tiff's do?
Like, 1,500.
Oh, nice.
On YouTube. But then, I mean, it gets, like, it's the podcast platforms is really where this does well. Like, sometimes the YouTube, like, Daniel's, I think, was, like, 150 people.
Daniel Cusimano?
Yeah. But, like, it's really, like, a podcast. I want to get it to video, but we need to figure out. I think we just buy a cinematic camera, which is going to be expensive. But that's fine. We need it anyways. We'll end. We'll cut it.
I assume that YouTube, they're definitely good to get some people on YouTube, no matter how many it is. I'm guessing like the YouTube monetization is probably better than like other platforms.
Yeah, and I monetize just to get. To be monetized is hard, but I was already monetized from my like past life on YouTube, so yeah, like I make money off of these without like I haven't posted one since Daniels. He was the last one I did last season, and I still get a random deposit every now and then, and I'm like, where did this like $300 come from or whatever?
Oh, shit.
And it's just like from these being up.
If people watch it the whole way through, like that's a lot.
Yeah, it's nice. Yeah, Tiff's and Hannah's did like really really well. Okay. What if we were just doing the handshake? I'll just be like, okay. Well, thanks for being here.
Sure.
Right? Is that what should we do? I mean, we're not videoing anymore. I'll just be like, okay. Oh, yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah, maybe we throw out like a Big Brother.
Yeah, like bring it back. Okay. Yeah, cool. Okay, so to round it out, we're at the very beginning of this Big Brother season, but give me, like, one big prediction. Like, let's hear, like, maybe who you think is going to win and who you think will be, like, America's favorite house guest.
Okay. This is my initial, like, sort of winner pick without much research, but she hasn't given me any reason to change, switch up on her, so I'm going to go with Nicole. as my winner pick. She's just got like a, she seems to have a very like comfortable energy.
Yeah.
And I think everyone in the house can kind of click with her. She seems super smart, but like also low key. So I think she's got a good chance to win. But you never really know. And then America's favorite. I don't know. It doesn't really seem like there's been any standouts so far, but maybe Michael. I feel like Michael's very probably generally liked so far.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of like who else has really stood out, but there's not anyone on the level of like Tiff or DX last season where everyone's like, I don't know. I was big on the DX train last season, and he was just obviously him and Tiff were just like such big favorites. Like so, I know that'll emerge, but no one so far is like.
Yeah, it's early. Really, these are like very like, if you had to guess, because we don't know a lot yet. But yeah, those are good. Those are good.
What
picks.
About you?
My winner pick is Michael.
So, sure.
I think he has a lot to offer, and I am excited to see like where he goes. I also have a really weird theory that he's related to, or his fiance is related to a former house guest, which is a twist. I don't think that was like intentional, like on the casting's part. Yeah. I just think that
which former house guest?
So Michael's fiance's last name is Middleton, which is the same last name as Audrey from season 17. And Audrey really doesn't post a lot about Big Brother. She kind of doesn't have anything to do with Big Brother anymore. And she posted about Michael when they announced the cast.
Interesting.
And I know
he
also does
like, he came from like the org community though too. I did know that.
Yeah.
So, but I that would be interesting.
So I have a feeling that they like maybe they're siblings or cousins or some relation to each other. And then
it would be funny if it's like final seven and Julia's like, guys, time for the biggest twist of the summer. Michael's fiance is cousins with season 17 alum Audrey Middleton. And she like waits for everyone to like freak out. Everyone's like, what?
They're like, who?
Michael's like, he is? Something like that.
Gosh, that's so funny. Yeah, so I think he could win. I think Taylor potentially could win America's Favorite House Guest.
Sure. I that's possible, yeah.
Yeah. So that's what I think. But again, I mean, who knows? It is so early, which it doesn't feel like it because we've been in this season for now like two or three weeks.
Yeah.
But
three almost.
Yeah. It feels early, but soon we'll be probably
like lines are starting to get drawn a little bit.
Yeah, we'll probably know more and then we'll see. And then we'll probably be kicking it with them on finale night. So who knows?
That's such a weird thing to think about. I mean, I experienced that last season sort of for the first time where it was like watching and then I meet a bunch of them. Yeah, it's kind of
odd. It's so crazy.
Even still, it's even like more weird now. Because even with like new circle seasons, like you obviously communicate with like the new cast, some of them and everything like that. But then you actually go see them and meet them. And I haven't met a lot of the season four people yet, actually. But it's like, that's like a whole different story. Or like, it's like people that you've seen on the TV like coming to life. And you're like, it's like, really, you're actually real. Like, this is weird.
Dang. Yeah, that's crazy.
But the Big Brother, at least from my experience, they always like have a good time too. Like they get down and and I also think Big Brother forms such like a fun bond between all the people. Because A, you meet everyone. Like Survivor, it's like there's some people that, you know, you're on different tribes. You're never gonna meet them.
True.
And so the cast naturally just has such a big camaraderie, I feel like. And you're together for 3 months, which is crazy.
Yeah.
Obviously Survivor has a big bond too.
Yeah.
Because like, I mean, maybe even more so because you're like starving, but it's like you're not. Like there are gonna be people in your cast. Like there was people on season 41 that I met before like some of my friends, other friends from season 41, like met their own castmate. Like, pretty weird. So
yeah, you form a really strong bond being in that house.
Whereas the circle, it's like, I mean, I have a good bond with like, it's just more surface.
You're like, I hate
them. You literally don't meet them until you're all leaving and then you fly out the next day.
Wow.
Yeah, so you get no time to like kick it and like you'd like FaceTime and stuff. But it's
and then
just
they
not the
they
same.
Fly you back home. Like you don't all fly to the same place where you could like keep hanging out.
Even like after the finale, they like scoot you all. Like they let us like chill and talk for like 15 minutes, And then they were like, all right, you guys got to go home. And what? They told us we like weren't supposed to hang out, but I just like went and chilled with Mitch and we got hammered, which was super funny. With his chaperone too. We just got, or you guys didn't hear that. Yeah, we just got like, but our flights were at like 5 a.m. So we just like got hammered and then like went, I slept for like 2 hours and went to the airport and it sucked. But I was like, I'd rather this like once in a lifetime experience.
Totally.
I'm going to make some memories here.
Wow.
Yeah, it was, but the bond, I mean, obviously I'm still super close with Mitch, close with like Courtney, Savannah, Lisa, have friendly relationships with like pretty much everybody, but it's just not the same. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, that is wild. Well, thanks for sharing all of that stuff.
Of course.
That is so.
Brings me back.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Hopefully there's a more stuff on the horizon though that I can add to this.
Yeah we'll stay up to date, and if there's anything new we'll bring you back to hear all about it.
That's not a teaser or anything. I'm just in need of work.
You're just manifesting.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, let's talk about some 2022 shit. The circle is that it's always been very diverse without them ever being like, look at us, we're so diverse,
right? From jump, from their first season, it was like that, and that just set the precedent for the rest, and that's what made it good, I think.
And it's like it felt so effortless. Like, obviously, I appreciated the diversity we had like in our cast, but like I said, they didn't like force it. It's like just a great group of people blend together really well. You're like, oh, like, we're all getting along, and we happen to like. It was a good like reflection of that, because I think when they draw too much attention to that stuff, it almost like is counterproductive. Where it's, you know, it's like, oh, look at us, we're so diverse. It kind of like takes away some of the meaning from it.
100%. No, I completely agree. We talk about that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was cool. But
yeah. Damn.
Yeah.
Well, sweet. This was great. Thanks so much for listening. You can hear new episodes whenever I post them. And we'll see you next time.